Have you ever felt like your life just got turned upside down? Not like in a 90s sitcom fresh kind of way, but in a very real and sometimes devastating way. Maybe you lost a job that your family relied on. Maybe you lost a relationship that you thought would continue forever. Maybe some of the things that you identify yourself by and that you poured your heart and soul and passion into were taken away from you suddenly. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe life just changed faster than you could keep up. And maybe in that moment, you decided that there was nothing left for you to do but seek God. And to be quite honest, it's likely that some of us are experiencing that sort of moment in this life season right now. I mean, think about it. There's probably no better way to describe the year of 2020 than our lives being flipped upside down. I mean, we can just enumerate a list that probably can go longer than you care to spend on this sermon. I'm preaching it from a spare room in my house right now instead of in a pulpit in front of an audience. You're watching from the comfort of your homes in your house, probably with your bunny slippers and your pajama pants on and hopefully some hot cider or some cocoa. Some of those things are kind of comforting and nice, but it's drastically different from what we expect when we think of worship or hearing a message like this. I think one of the things that's interesting about these moments where things are upside down and we're kind of like fish out of water is that those are often the moments that God uses to wake us up, aren't they? I can think of so many instances in my life where things started to go off kilter. The train went off the tracks, so to speak, and I was forced to reevaluate why I was where I was, what I was doing, and if I was where I ought to have been in that moment in the first place. In those moments, some of the darkest moments, maybe for you, and I know for me and many others, we actually come to the presence of mind that we ought to be seeking God in that moment. And so when things get really, really dark, sometimes our response is to seek God, look for the light. And it's natural, and I think that's commendable, and that's something that we ought to do. But what I want to share with you today comes from one of Jesus' parables. And Jesus' parables are always about the nature of the kingdom on earth that is, and is already, and is not yet. And one of the interesting parables that he tells in Luke chapter 15 comes in a series of three, but it's not the most famous of the three. As a matter of fact, it's probably the least famous of the three. Now, if you're familiar with Luke chapter 15, you probably know this is where we get one of the accounts when Jesus tells his famous parable about the prodigal son. Mislabeled maybe because it's really about two sons. And we'll not get that far today because the parable that I really want to focus on, and I think offers us a little bit of insight about what we're experiencing right now in this crazy year, and often what we experience in dark moments in our life and dark chapters, is something that makes me reevaluate whether those dark moments are moments where I actually was seeking God. Maybe they're moments where God was actually seeking me. Luke chapter 15, Jesus begins dealing with the tax collectors and sinners who were all drawing near to him. The least likely of folks that the religious elite thought should have been flocking to a potential Messiah or a teacher of the law. Folks that they would have never found themselves around. Folks that had some dark places in their life. Folks that needed some light, if you will. Not very different from any one of us. Anyway, chapter 15 begins like this. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." And he actually over-delivers because he tells the three that I was just talking about before. The first one is one that we remember well. It's about the lost sheep. It goes like this. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who show no repentance." And so Jesus is addressing the Pharisees who have come to him in question, why are you spending all of your time with these folks who clearly have situations and things and circumstances and choices that they've made in their lives that render them to be lost, unclean in their eyes, and certainly not fit for the kingdom of God? And Jesus throws in an iconic Jesus fashion, teaching them that that's actually who Jesus was here for to begin with. If you have no need of repentance, then I'm not here for you. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He deals with the fact that there's going to be great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, and that ought to be all of us and every single person, for we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he tells a second parable, the parable of the lost coin. And that's where I want to spend the rest of our time briefly this morning. Read with me. It says in verse 8, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, often this parable gets a little bit of attention and then it's skipped over as we quickly usually move into the parable of the two sons or the prodigal son that follows after. And with good reason. There is so much good that Jesus delivers in that parable that we need to learn about ourselves and the nature of the kingdom and the nature of the God who runs off the porch to meet each and every one of us. But I want to stop and pause here at this second parable for a second. I think it tells us a lot about not just our situation when lost, but it tells us a lot about what God is up to when he knows that one of his children is lost as well. Have you ever wondered why your life gets flipped upside down to begin with? Have you ever wondered why it seems to get incredibly dark almost without notice sometimes and without any type of warning? Sometimes things just go haywire. Have you ever wondered why there are constant periods of shaking in our lives and why it's strange to look back on those moments and realize that God was in them the whole time? Have you ever wondered if you'll look back on the year of 2020 and guess that actually God was doing something here as well? I've wondered all of those things, and I think this parable tells us a lot about the behavior of God and what he's doing in each and every one of our lives. Maybe it'll help us see it a little bit better. Okay, the first thing that happens in this parable is the woman, when she realizes she has lost a coin, turns on the light. We know that light and dark is a constant play in the scripture. It so perfectly describes the tension that is in us when we try to stray away from God. We know that our goal is to be walking in the light as he is in the light, as John would write to us. We also know that when John penned his gospel, he told us that the men hated the light because they loved the darkness. I want you to just picture what Jesus is doing with his wordplay here. In this parable, he is putting God in the position of a woman who has lost one of her 10 silver coins, would hold immense value to her. And the very first thing she does is she turns on the light. What would that do? First of all, light would chase the darkness out of the house. It would bring light to all of the shadowy places and all of the crevasses that exist. So what does this mean for us but that when God is seeking and pursuing you, one of the first things that you're going to notice, that there are going to be some dark places in your life that maybe you've been trying to hide or maybe you've even been blind to, that are going to get illuminated. Things are going to come out, and oftentimes that's uncomfortable. But so many times we interpret these periods of shaking and things being spoken about or revealed to us as painful, these things that maybe we can't see because they're in our blind spots, as bad things. But I think this parable teaches us that in a very real way, sometimes when the light comes on in our lives, it's not just that we need to be seeking God, but quite literally, it's a result of God actually seeking us. So the first thing that happens is the light gets turned on. Has the light been turned on in our lives in 2020 at this point? As individuals, as a church community, as a country, as a culture, have a lot of things been revealed about the true inner workings of our hearts and our desires and what we really care about in this year? When all of these things start to get stripped or swept away, as we'll talk about in a second, have we seen the true nature of people that sometimes surprises us, sometimes alarms us, sometimes shocks even ourselves, the way that we've behaved, the way we've gotten tied up in things, the way that different things that have happened throughout this year that has been so challenging have totally crippled us? Has the light come on and shocked us out of the dark a little bit? Has some things been revealed? I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say yes, it has. The light of 2020 has revealed to us just how dependent we became on things being kind of comfortable for us. It revealed how dependent we became on things going smoothly for us. The light of 2020 coming into the dark place revealed that we had misprioritized a lot of things and we've been able to get away with it for quite some time. Well, no more, because the light has been on and we've been forced to examine all of those dark places. So what does that really mean for us? Well, I have a bit more uncomfortable news. The reality is, it doesn't stop with the light coming on. The reality is, right after that, the woman begins sweeping. And so if God has cut the light on in our lives, if he is seeking each and every one of us, he's seeking you, if he's seeking me, and he's turned the light off to expose some dark places and some shadowy areas in our life, you know what comes next? The broom. And when God starts sweeping things away to reveal the actual beauty that's supposed to be there and gets that dirt out of there, that can be really, really difficult. I want you to think about how a doormat develops a caked area of dirt around it if it sits there for some time. Or maybe you've moved a welcome mat in your house that you didn't sweep under for too long. Or maybe you pulled the couch out and you just saw that threshold where darkness had taken over and you've collected way more coins than you thought you could ever hide under your couch. I want you to think about the metaphor of your life that way. And as God pulls out that broom and he starts to sweep things away, when we start to see things that we've become accustomed to and comfortable in, even in our darkness, get swept away, it can feel tragic. When we see relationships that aren't actually good for us, but we've tolerated, get swept out of our life. When we see maybe a job that has become our identity, that has consumed us, that we've prioritized, even above God himself, get taken away from us, that can feel very uncomfortable. When we see all of the things that we've piled up in our darkness underneath of our couches, so to speak, around the edges in those shadowy areas of our life get swept away, it can feel like you're losing the world. It can feel like things are being taken from you. But what if this parable teaches us that it's not you losing the world, it's God gaining you? Because if this parable is true, if God is like a woman who has lost one of her silver coins and now she's willing to not just turn the light on, but she's willing to tear the house upside down and begin sweeping and cleaning, we ought to be right there at the door shooing those things out of our lives as well. But that will take the correct perspective and understanding that this is just as much God seeking me as it is me seeking God. Stop and ask yourself the question, is God sweeping things out of your life that you don't need anymore so that he can give you everything that you ever actually needed and more in the form of himself? I think that's a valuable question for all of us to ask. Let's continue to examine this parable. I think it's important that we take a couple seconds to think about what this could look like from the other side. What do we actually learn about God from this parable, and what do we learn about ourselves and how we actually typically interpret these sort of events in our lives, you know, when things start going crazy? I think this tells us a lot about the nature of God, all three of these parables, right? Especially these first two, they're kind of in the same vein. See, if the shepherd goes to find the one sheep, it demonstrates how much he actually cares about the sheep. And if the shepherd goes to get that sheep at the expense of leaving the others behind, it shows that that sheep is valued beyond measure. If the woman is willing to leave the other 9 coins and not just search casually for the coin that has been lost, but willing to turn the light on, do a deep clean, and tear the house upside down. You got to realize this means that God is willing to flip the house upside down to find you when you are straying away. God is willing to turn everything over in order to set things right. He's willing to go to great lengths to bring you back into a right relationship with him, to bring you out of the dark and into the light. God is willing to put on the rubber gloves. He's got a Swiffer out. He's rearranging the furniture. He's moving things that haven't been moved in years. He's readdressing the framework and the lay of the living room. He is changing things in a big way just to make sure that you get right back where you belong into his hand. One of the things that's encouraging about this to me is so often when we are in a dark place, when we have come through a year like 2020, when things have been really hard, when things have been really difficult, we tend as humans to interpret that as a sign that God does not care about us, or somehow that God is mad at us, that we are not wanted by God, that we've finally messed up enough that God has said, okay, I'm going to be done with it. We interpret these things as God's distance from us. But this parable teaches us that sometimes when things are going haywire in your life, Sometimes when things are being flipped upside down, when things are being turned over, recklessly moved, swept out, when things are being illuminated and revealed that you didn't necessarily know about or want to be revealed, when these things are happening, they're not evidence that God doesn't want you. They're not evidence that God is even mad at you. They're not evidence that God doesn't care about you or is far from you. I know that's how it feels in that moment. We can feel so far from God. But in that moment, Jesus says, it may actually be a sign of God coming to get you out of your mess. And he's willing to come and get you out of your mess even when you don't realize you're in it. And he's willing to flip the house upside down to rescue you from that moment. The fact that things are going crazy in your life may just be the evidence totally contrary to what you've been interpreting it as. You thought God was mad at you. You thought God didn't want you. You thought because you strayed away, God was done with you. But the parable of the shepherd and the parable of the coin demonstrate that no, God is coming to get you. See, when you belong to God, he's willing to turn the house upside down to find you. Look, God is so willing to seek you and chase you down that he was willing to wrap himself in flesh to do it, to come here, go through everything that we've ever gone through and experience more trial than we could ever imagine. Orders of magnitude of betrayal and pain and suffering, even more than any of us have gone through. But he did that willingly. The interesting thing about that is God was with Jesus. God was Jesus. The evidence of suffering and pain and turmoil and upheaval in the life of Jesus was not evidence that God was far away from earth and his children. As a matter of fact, all of those things happened to Jesus as evidence that God was more near than ever to his children. And so when there's upheaval in our lives, when there's trouble in our lives, Jesus said, I have come to get you, and it is only a sign that I am closer than ever. There have been moments and times in my life where I know I have had the thought, will this ever end? And life sometimes can seem like a cruel deck of cards where you go through a bad hand and then it just gets reshuffled and it starts all over once you reach the end of the deck. But I think this parable teaches us that that is a misinterpretation of what's happening. The reality is God is willing to reshuffle the deck until you end up in your rightful place, right back in his hand. The scripture says that when the woman found the coin, she called together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, I think so often, the tough times that we go through, maybe this entire year for you, we interpret as a time where God has not been around. We have not heard from him. We interpret it as a time when God has forsaken us. We think maybe it's something that we did that caused God to just give up on us. We think maybe it's something that our country has done that has caused God to just give up on all of us. We think maybe it's a failing in our church or our faith community, and God has just decided that we're no longer worth his time. But the more I get in scripture, the more I listen to the words of Jesus, the more that my belief and my faith increases, the more I realize that the moments when I feel like that are usually the moments when God has been seeking me the hardest. When I go through these difficult moments, it's an opportunity for me to seek God, yes, and I think we ought to continue to do that when we go through tough times. At all times, we ought to seek God. But I also think it's a time for us to realize that those are the moments where God is sometimes seeking us. Maybe in the dark moments of our lives, maybe in this year 2020, maybe we need to recognize that God has been seeking us. You know, I sit back and I think about my life, that maybe God has a lot to wake us up from. Maybe he's shined some light into some dark places in our hearts and in our lives and our culture and our society and even in our churches that we've been forced to come face to face with. And it's been ugly. It's been dirty. It's surprised us. Much like looking under a rug that hasn't been moved in too long. Maybe we got comfortable. Maybe God has had to shake us a little bit. Maybe we were the coin or the sheep that rolled away, and God has decided that he had to leave everything else to shake us up a little bit. Maybe God decided he had to reshuffle our deck, if you will, so that we could end up back in his hand. With that being said, I just want you to consider that Jesus told these parables to folks that thought that they didn't have any problems, thought that they were good to go. And I would say that's cause for pause if that's you or I this morning. We all have areas where we need to improve. We all have areas where God is trying to shine light. If you allow him to do that, it says that there will be much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. So why not re-examine the shaking you felt this year? Why not look back into the darkness? Why not think about the things that have been illuminated? Why not reevaluate? Why not look for God in the dark? Because if you belong to him, he will never stop seeking you. And there's a good chance that you've seen him. There's a good chance that you felt him. There's just a good chance that you haven't recognized it yet. And he is always willing to put you right back where you belong, in his hand. May we all allow him to find us so that we can find him. God bless.